that. Ooh, yeah, yeah. They got so much things to say right now. They got so much things to say. They got so much things to say right now. They got so much things to say. Hey, but I'll never forget, no way. They crucified Jesus Christ. I'll never forget, no way. They sold Marcus Garvey for rice. I'll never forget, no way. They turned their backs on Paul Bogle. Hey, so don't you forget, no you, who you are and where you stand in the struggle. They got
so very, this is Remark here, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Goss Minard Roseboro in the house with my, they call it co-pilot, but I think he's more a pilot, you know. I think he got two pilots in this cockpit. Darwin Russell, he's here today. And just a few weeks ago, we had a very, very interesting conversation on the causes of cancer and dealing with health issues. And it was such a great conversation. I'm continuously hearing of additional families and individuals dealing with this situation of cancer. It's a horrible story to be told, but for those who have triumphed through it, I wanted to let you know that we praise God for you. We're praying for you, and we continue to encourage you. For those who are now entering into the realm of cancer, we want you to understand that here at Remark, there is hope for you. There are people who have gone through this, and I do believe there's a network that does exist that you can reach out to for encouragement, to find ways and means of overcoming. For those of you who feel as if you have been insulated from this dreaded disease, cancer, it never, never allows you the privilege to recognize it's coming. It simply shows up on your next doctor's visit, and you become one person wearing that very pink ribbon. And so I want to continue to keep this in the front of you, the Bahamian people, because really and truly, it's all about love. I know I sit on various platforms and in various places, and people say, "Oh, Mr. Roseboro, you're just one mean dude. You carry on bad, and you're so unkind sometime, and like you don't have no love in your heart." But listen to me. There's only one gate to the eternal kingdom that you believe in, which is the straight gate. And I understand it's very, very narrow, and there are very few people that can find it. I have found it. I want you to know, Eureka, I have found it, and that's why I sit here in this place on 96.9 FM, Guardian Radio, and I give thanks to the management team, Dwight Strawn and their team, along with the management owners of Guardian Radio. I give thanks to you, the listeners. Those people are now contemplating sponsorship of this program. I want to encourage you to quickly do so. You know, we got to pay our bills, but we are appreciative of the time that we have had here in this space to share such a important program to the entire Bahamas. I listened to Quincy Parker a while ago. I saw they were sipping on bourbon, and they had a good conversation on the silver economy, and I just want to give a shout-out to Quincy Parker and Mr. Kelly for their show. I try to tune into you to give encouragement to the understanding as to the total conversation of Guardian Radio. I know we have Lady T that's coming on right after, so I would invite you all to continue to listen in. I just want to give a shout-out to all the other team, to White Strawn in the morning, Aaron Green, C.A. Newry, Howard Grant, Z-Line with Chivago Line. We got Naughty along with Pearly, and the list goes on. You know, we got some love talks on Tuesday. You know, if those people want some romantic tips, if you want to find out about building, you got my good friend there on Thursdays. You know, nailed it. I mean, it's program after program. You got Valentino there on Friday night talking about urban city life. I mean, I can go on and on when it comes to Guardian Radio. But right now, on this Sunday, I do my very best to give you a program that you can turn this radio on and get information that's pertinent to your life. Information that's going to transform your life. Information that, as people present to you fiction, I want to give you facts. Where people have opinions, I want to make sure I give you reality. And so I have Darwin Russell here on the side of me. I want to give out the phone numbers really quickly. Before we really delve into the conversation today, you got to get a pen and paper, as I want to give you these numbers. But today we want to deal with the causes of cancer. Then, of course, there's something also special that happened in the newspaper this week, the silent epidemic of renal kidney failure. And that is, people don't know this about me. I've never divulged this information, but I do have someone in my house that has polycystic kidney disease. We've been fighting this for 9 years. People don't understand the expense of such. They don't understand the trauma. They don't understand how people go and they have, they have spasms at night. They have heart tremors at night, cold sweats. The list goes on. You got to make emergency flights. Sometimes every 3 months, I got to fly to Fort Lauderdale for an emergency flight when your port goes down. The list continues to go on. Bahamian people, we live in paradise, but it does not mean that every person that lives in our country is having a paradisical experience. There are people who are going through some things. I'm not talking just about financial situations here. I'm talking about people who are going through health concerns. We're talking about high blood pressure. We're talking about diabetes. We're talking about cancer. We're talking about renal failure. We're talking about aneurysms. The list goes on. COVID-19 just joined the list the other day, and you see how devastating that was. I have to have this serious conversation because when we get down to the bottom of politics, politics has to be about the health of a nation. If the nation is not healthy, then of course the nation is broken and the nation is weakened. We need a healthy, strong Bahamas. And that is why I'm taking the time of the day. I'm going to allow the other pilot, Darwin Russell, to take the program over today so you can hear his raspy, deep voice and have a great program today. Darwin is a man who believes in a higher power. And I believe that he's capable and able to navigate this program today to ensure that we invite that power into this conversation. So for whomsoever you believe in your faith that can bring strength to you today, I'm going to extend it to you today. I asked my producer, a beautiful lady, to ensure to have CC Winans on standby for me to talk about the goodness of God. I want to give you that little bit of inspiration. So now that you have your pen and paper in hand, let me throw these numbers out quickly before I give the microphone over to Darwin. Russell is going to introduce. I have Alicia Barton Eden, someone who I've known for years, and she has a story to tell. Of course, you heard from Rudolph Strawn, who was here the last time. And then I got a special guest that Darwin's going to introduce to you, one Randy Ferguson. He's here with us again today, who is a renal patient over the years. And so here are the phone numbers, 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere from the family of islands, you can call toll-free 242-300-5720. Or for those of you who are on the job, I know I got some people saying, man, God, I love listening to you, but I am on the job. I can't call in. If you cannot call in, then you go ahead and give me a text. Tell me hello. Tell the guest hello. Tell us what's on your mind. And that number is 422-4796. That's 422-4796. That's a text-only line. Text-only. And I just want to give a shout-out to those people who are aspirants at this time, who are running in politics at this time. I pray that you had a conversation with the higher power, who is God, that your heart is clean. We don't want no more unclean Negroes in the House of Assembly. I just got to say that. You know, we've had people like Philippa Kelly all the way from South Eleuthera, Central and South Eleuthera. I gave her a thumbs up because why? I believe our heart is pure. I only stand with those who are pure in heart, for the pure in heart shall do what? See God. You know, they will see God. I only want people who can see God around me because too many of y'all people make me feel like I'm a sinner. Y'all make me feel like I'm so dirty and I'm so no good. My God. I say, you know what? You then cast me down in hell. I might as well tell the devil hello. But somebody loves God, Bernard Roseboro, and you're going to redeem me one of these days soon. In the name of Jesus, you're going to pray for me. Darwin Russell, say hello to the nation, man. Let's get this program rolling today.
My goodness. Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Sunday. It is a fantastic weather day. It's so nice outside. I see everybody is on the beach this afternoon, Garth. And I know you're working on an hour less of sleep today. Well, so you may be a little groggy. But we need you to wake up because we're about to have a very sobering conversation today. Continuing from the conversation we had a few weeks ago with Mr. Strawn concerning his battle with prostate cancer, in studio with me today is, as Garth has already mentioned, Alicia Barton, who will introduce herself. and Randy Ferguson. So I'll turn the mic over to Alicia first to introduce us and just give us a brief synopsis of your story, Alicia.
And before she does, you know, I'm sitting here, Darwin Russell, and all I can see is bling, bling. Where did you get that big ring from, man? What are we seeing into? What kind of money this is we got in this town? I mean, I don't want to come and try to rob nobody, but my God, I thought it's only fellows buy woman quality jewelry. But that ring carrying on. You're smiling and you're so happy, my God. Listen, fellas, if you want your wife smiling, if you want her smiling, man, don't get a woman no cheap ring this year, man. For God's sake, man, this 2025, give her a ring that goes bling, bling. Bling, bling, ring is the year for 2025. Go ahead, Alicia Barton, introduce yourself.
Hi. My name is Alicia Barton Eden. I am a 13-year cancer survivor. 13 years, 2010. I work at the airport. I have two great kids. I have a wonderful family, a wonderful husband. And I will let you know more as we go on.
Well, this is Rudolph Strawn. I'm my second time around now, and I'm a cancer survivor as well. I was diagnosed with metastatic prostate cancer stage 4 in December 2022, and I've had a long journey to recovery, where I spent 9 weeks in a hospital in Florida, receiving radiation therapy. Various medications I'm on, and also the hormone infusion treatment that I'm undergoing now at this time. And so my journey has indeed been quite a whirlwind of activities and quite an experience, and that I would like to share with people just to let them know, you know, what to expect and how important it is that you take care of yourself, get your regular medical checks, and try and have a good diet, create a good diet, follow a good diet plan for yourself, to retain and maintain your health as in best condition as you possibly can.
Mr. Ferguson.
Good afternoon. My name is Randy Ferguson. My journey as a kidney patient started in August 1st, 1993. So, which is what, 31 and a half years ago. Wow. And what's been keeping me is, first, I say God. And also, I think it's like a mind thing. Once you keep a positive mind, the body follows that positive mind. And, you know, I think knowledge is key. A lot of people don't know their renal failure, they don't know the seriousness of it. And I think education is the key of surviving this.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, everybody, for your introductions. I am going to actually start off the conversation with Mr. Ferguson. And I'll tell you, one of the things that is so interesting as you get older, Garth, is, you know, you move in a certain position and a pain shoots through your body that you didn't have before you were 30. You know? After you get a little older, you know, for those of you that watched and listened to the program, you knew that I was not in studio last week Sunday, and that's because I did one of them moves and my back gave out. Now, I know y'all think I'm young, right? And I look young, but my body told me differently last week Saturday, so it's good to be here. Unfortunately, a lot of folks in my circle, Garth, this year and last year, I've become acutely aware of this silent killer called renal failure. You know, we've dealt in my family, in and around my family, with heart failure, so I was familiar with some of the signs and symptoms of that, and it is more prevalent in men of color than it is in our Caucasian brothers. And so, you know, when you go and get your physical, you know, you want them to look at those arteries and do your stress tests and what have you. So we have a tendency to focus on that one a little bit more. When Mr. Strong came through, we already know the prevalence of prostate cancer. It has a good survivable rate, and that's because if you catch it early, As Mr. Strawn spoke about a few weeks ago, and you get the proper treatment, it's very survivable. But this renal failure thing, this is a much more different animal, Garth. And, you know, I was reading the other day, I listened to a presentation that Dr. Sands gave a few weeks back. And he was talking about some of these non-communicable diseases and folks with comorbidities. And he mentioned something which I was unaware of about renal failure. And he said that the two underlying causes of it are diabetes and high blood pressure, right? Now, I'll tell you a quick story before I let Mr. Ferguson tell us about this miraculous 30-plus year survival rate with renal failure, because a lot of people, when they hear kidney failure, they think you might as well just get your funeral plans together, because once you go on dialysis, that's the beginning of the end, right? So I'm curious and anxious to talk to you, Mr. Ferguson. But I was traveling to New Orleans 2 years ago, and one of them special pains hit me, right? Now, I've always been a healthy person. I've always eaten properly, never was into a whole bunch of junk food. I wasn't no big exercising person, but was always a fit person, never spent a day in hospital, right? And coming through security at New Orleans International Airport, I just felt this sharp pain in my back, right? And anybody who's had kidney stones or gallstones, it felt like that, because I've had an episode of that before, but it was different. It was the same, but yet it was different. So I kind of tugged on the wife to let her know, you know, something is a little off with me. And I couldn't move. Like, I just stayed stationary, right? And the line is now being held up. You know, people getting impatient. But the TSA came over and was like, y'all, calm down. Obviously, Brad's having a situation here, so relax yourself. So I stayed there for a few minutes. They were gracious enough to let me stay there for a few minutes. And finally, I was at least strong enough to somewhat stand up, got through TSA and got to the gate and sat down and laid down. And this pain would not go away. And thankfully, our plane boarded. The flight attendants were very kind. But when we landed in Tampa, they took me straight to the urgent care. And they wouldn't admit me. They sent me straight to the hospital because they didn't know what was wrong. Right, the pain, after I described it to them, they couldn't figure out what was wrong. But what they did do at the urgent care before they dispatched me is they checked my blood pressure, and it was extremely high. Never seen a reading like that in all my born days, right? And so they were like, look, you need to go to the hospital, like, now. So they did that, took me to Tampa General overnight observation. I'm telling you all my business tonight. And observation, couldn't figure out what was wrong. They had to manage this pressure and get this pressure under control, because that was the most critical thing. And ever since that day, and this is why I bring this up as a preamble to your conversation, ever since that day, I have had issues with my blood pressure. I've had to have gone on medication to try to keep it under control, and I'm good. And I'm good now. But the amount of men, people in general, but the amount of men that are dealing with high blood pressure, unchecked, maybe just like in my case, because I only had cause to go to the doctor because of the pain, I might have been dealing with the pressure for longer than that presented, right? Because I'm usually regular about my annual, like we talked about. I didn't do some of the extensive things that Mr. Strawn recommended, which I will do now at my next visit. But I was pretty diligent about that, and that had never come up before. But when this situation occurred, it made me much more aware. And I have come across so many men over the last year or so that are dealing with hypertension, that it's unchecked, they're not on medication for it, and they have not changed their diets, right? And it was, you know, I was talking to my sister, and I said to her, you know, if it's one thing that wives can do, because wives can talk to their husbands in a way that no one else can talk to their husbands, and get us to do the things that we know we're supposed to do, but we're sometimes too stubborn to do. So I would ask all of my fellow Bahamian sisters out there to make sure I admonish your husbands to go, even if you, let me tell you something, go with them. It's hard for them to tell you no if you in the car. Drive them, trick them. Say you're going to get something to eat, but your detour is you're going to the doctor first, right? You got to do what you have to do, because these people are important in our lives. So, Mr. Ferguson, if you will, that was a long intro. But I want you to tell us, when did you get diagnosed? You said in 1993. Yes. How long did it take
for you to go on dialysis if you are on dialysis? And why, where did you develop such a positive attitude around your condition when so many other people we hear, when they go on dialysis, it's the beginning of the end? Talk to the people.
Okay. My journey actually started in 1992 mm-hmm. when I was diagnosed with high blood pressure.
Okay.
So I had, which is the second leading cause of mm-hmm. Renal failure. Number one, of course, is diabetes.
Yes.
But this, so I was diagnosed with high blood pressure, and I was put on medicines, and I started beginning to feel a lot better. Okay. No more headaches, migraines, and stuff. And after I started to feel better, I stopped taking the medications, and I never checked again. And it's like a whole year that was destroying my kidney. So the symptoms I was having was, I was like swelling up, retaining fluid, and everything I eat I would bring back up. And also...
And this started after you stopped the medication after taking it for a year?
Yes.
So it was a relatively quick onset of these other symptoms,
Yes, right. And, you know, my cousin at the time told me, like, we went to, I was living in the United States at the time. And my cousin told me, look, you, something's wrong. You have to go to the hospital because every time you eat, you know, you bring it up.
Yes, yes.
So I was like still throwing it off, like maybe the food was bad, a lot of excuses. Plus, I actually was a saltaholic.
Okay.
You know, and like eating McDonald's every
day. Yeah, couldn't get that bacon up.
Right. So I actually, you know, told him, I'll be all right. I told him, I'll be all right. I didn't go to the hospital. Till one night I was home, and the next thing I know, I woke up, I was in the hospital.
Jesus.
And I don't know what happened, but I was, the ambulance... my neighbor actually called the ambulance, and I was in the hospital. And I woke up in the hospital, and I was like, you know, what's going on? So they told me, you have to, you have renal failure, and you have to go on the dialysis machine. So I'm like, what is that? I have no clue.
What year was this now?
1993.
93, okay. So just in the space of a year,
yes,
you went from... essentially going to the doctor, going on high blood pressure, coming off high blood pressure, and into renal failure, you're going on dialysis.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Yes, but to me, it wasn't no warning. It just happened. And when I was in the hospital, they told, when they explained what dialysis was, I was like, you know, how did this happen? And, you know, they explained. Yes. Yeah, so then they were like, okay, we have to put you on the machine. So I'm like, I don't know what no machine is. I don't know. So when they put me on the machine, at the time, my weight was 250 pounds.
Okay.
But I didn't know that was mostly fluid.
Okay.
3 days later, when I woke up, they my weight was down to 170 pounds.
Man, stop talking.
Yes, and I was like, when people came to visit me at the hospital, they said, did you see yourself? And when I looked in the mirror, I was like this small person because I was used to being big.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, "What? Where did all this weight go? So they told me, no, you was retaining fluid. And we had to pull that fluid. Couldn't do it all at once. So they had to, every day they had to take a certain amount of pounds off and to get me to a dry weight. And then they, once you start dialysis over there, they put you in a class where it teaches you what this disease is or what this renal failure is. So I went to the class and I began to learn. And that's why I said knowledge is key, because I this was foreign to me.
Yeah.
I had no idea what was going, what I was going through. And so then I, as I took the class, I began to learn about dialysis. And one of the keys were your diet. Now, this thing called a renal diet.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, that's not for me.
Ain't no salt in that.
No. No. Everything was like broiled food.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, no. Yeah. I said, that's not for me. So
okay.
I went to dialysis one day, and there's a gentleman. He said, young man, he said, I know you're struggling with this diet. He said, but I've been on dialysis for 35 years. And he said, if you follow that renal diet, you will die. So I was like, what? So he's like, yes, if you follow that renal diet, you will die. So I said, what you mean? I said, I can eat, you know, basically what I want. He said, no, I'm telling you, yes, you can eat what you want, but it has to be in portions. Because he said, these things do still have to go in your body.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So from that day on, I started learning, and I started eating like regular foods. Of course, still a McDonald's again.
No, sure, yeah.
But
yeah.
But less salt.
Okay.
And started eating on portions. And I started to, and then he said, always have a positive mind. He said, if the tongue says the body is sick, the mind will follow.
Mm-hmm.
The body will follow.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept that positive mind that this is just a kidney ailment. Mm-hmm. This is not the end of my life.
Yes.
So I began to exercise. I began to, eat in portions. I began to keep a real positive mind. And to this day, I think that that's what's been keeping me. And actually, I do want to take time out to thank the nurses at Renal House, who I feel like goes far and beyond to keep our minds together and keep it right.
Okay.
Because, you know, we don't see those things. All we see is nurses putting us on the machines and, you know, and that's it. But no, we don't see the positive message that they put in our minds and help us through getting through dialysis.
So answer this question for me. Did you have insurance at the time that you were diagnosed?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
so
yes,
from
I did.
A cost perspective, it was more manageable for you as an insured patient.
Yes, it was.
Do you still have insurance today?
No, because like I said, this was, I started in the United States.
Okay.
Now, when I came here, I was at PMH at first, and then they had like a program where you get outsourced to private institutions.
Okay.
So I was outsourced to Renal House.
That's there on West Bay Street?
Yes.
Okay.
And actually, it's government funded, so government... actually.
So your out of pocket is you don't have to pay anything for your dialysis treatments?
No.
Oh, that's exceptional.
No, with the program.
So when you left the US, how long were you in the US before you came home?
You mean on dialysis?
Yes,
or
on dialysis.
Okay, from 93 to 2007.
Okay, so you were there a while under that system. Okay.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Right.
So, you know, when you hear stories like that, that's a fascinating story. I particularly clued in on the fact that the gentleman told you if you stayed on that diet, you would die.
Yes.
And most people say the opposite, right? And
right.
So when you hear, as you did, kidney failure, it's like no salt, bland food.
Yes.
You know, and you know, you tell Bahamians that it's like, man, you might as well carry me not in.
Right.
This ain't happening.
Exactly.
But it's very comforting to know that, yes, you should cut back, but portion sizes is so important. And I remember when I started to really pay attention to nutritional labels, and Bahamians, I hope y'all are listening to this conversation and sharing this conversation with others. When you start paying attention to the labels on food, you realize that a lot of these foods, whether it's a can or the bag, or the styrofoam container, it's more than one serving size. Mm-hmm. It looks like it might just be one serving size, but you read those labels and you will see 2 servings, 4 servings, 3 servings, and you eat the whole bag of chips in one sitting.
Yes.
Right? You eat all of the cookies in one sitting. When it's 3 and 4 servings, that was intended to make. That whole condensed can of soup, meant for more than one serving, high in sodium. So we have to be mindful of these things, especially as we get older. Our body does not metabolize things as we think it does. Fantastic conversation. My brother Strawn.
Yes.
For those of you, just to recalibrate, Mr. Strawn here was a prostate cancer survivor. And when we spoke,
is
a prostate cancer survivor. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. He gave us some awesome game back in the day. But one of the questions that I neglected to ask you the first time you were here was, when you got diagnosed with your prostate cancer, were you afraid? When you hear the C word, many people just cower and it's the end. They don't listen to anything else the doctor says. It's just game over. Do you recall the moment that you heard those words? And if you were afraid, how did you deal with that fear? And what was your state of mind at that particular point?
Well, I was quite shocked when I heard that, because number one, I couldn't believe I had cancer, and then I had stage 4 metastatic cancer. Uh-huh, that uh-huh. I was like, when did this happen? You know, because I went to the doctor several times before that, and of course I started, you know, I became quite concerned, and I was like, oh man, it's like this the end of the. End of the line here. You gotta wrap it up and pack it up. And I just started thinking about some other things. So I talking to my children, but then sure, but you know, they said, "Daddy, what are you talking about?" I have to get real.
Get your house in order.
I say, you know, and then by that time, I didn't even know that the doctor told them outside the room that, hey, you know, take daddy home, make him comfortable, and blah, 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 and all that stuff. You know, so, but because when I heard my PSA reading was 267, I say, man, the range is 1 to 10. Yeah. I even didn't know that. Yeah. I had knocked 20 home runs, you know, away from 10, you know, and I was like, well, you know, I guess this is it. And then the doctor came in the room, you know, and he said, well, you know, we could look at throwing in some treatment in there. Maybe you can try this and try that. And I say, so, doc. So I sat up a bit. So I hold my head up a bit. I say, well, I tell you what. You do what you could do. Uh-huh. And what you can do, my God can take care of the rest.
That's how you do it.
And I said, let's roll, doc. I put myself on her, you know. Because I started to slump through it.
Through
it in the negatives. And I said, wait, shake yourself up, bud. Shake yourself up. You are an athlete. You know, you did this, that. You used to eat, you know. Come on, rally up. And I told him, you know, so the doc, he looked at me shocked. He said, okay then, well, we'll get started on this, and you here, go see this doctor and see that doctor, and let's look at the hormone treatments, and you know. And they started saying certain things to me, right? And I was like, oh, now you're cooking. So let's get the ball rolling. But yes, you do feel afraid, because cancer, when people hear that, you know, that automatically stirs finality in someone else when they hear that. But you don't have to be afraid. You look at all the options you have. Remember, you have a divine father who cares and loves you very much. And always wants the best for us. And so we just have to be mindful of that. And you know, and you'll pull yourself, you know, you find yourself coming out of that sinkhole that you fell into.
I want to ask both you and Mr. Ferguson, before we go to Mrs. Eden, your support system at the time that you were diagnosed, you know, we're not islands unto ourselves, although we live in an island nation. Certainly when you go through moments like this, whether it's the loss of a loved one or dealing with a health crisis like both of you were and are, how important was a support system? Did you have a support system, both of you? Mr. Strawn, you go first.
Yes, certainly. My wife, my two daughters, even my grandchildren. I have 2 grandsons and a granddaughter. Hi, Camille. She's listening. Hi, Karen, Cammie. And, you know, and that also gives you a sense of motivation and a drive to want to survive and improve and do well. because you know you want to be here for your grandkids, for your family, and they were very supportive. Whatever I needed, my daughter who lives in Orlando flew down. I think probably the following day, and she, when I woke up, and because I had a procedure done with biopsy, and when I woke up, she was by the bed, and I was like, "How you get here? How did you get here?" You know, awesome. And I have some very good friends too, and one or two other extended family members. That are indeed very, very supportive. They send me songs, prayers, encouragement, and motivational stuff that really boosts my spirit and encourage me. And I find it to be such a source of strength. Yeah. Of course, I also have my divine source, my Heavenly Father, who is more than close to me, because I had a personal encounter with God. And we don't have the time to talk about that today. But
give us the Cliff Notes version, man. This storytelling hour. You don't get no moments like this outside of Remark on Guardian Radio. You got to tell a story. We got all these people listening who need encouragement. You never know who this gonna bless today.
All right. Well, since you asked, one night I was in a hospital. I heard someone call my name. You know, Rudolph, and I kind of rolled over and rubbed my eyes. You know, and I was like. This thing I should be over, so that should be my family still here. So I drifted back off, and then when I listened again, I heard Rudolph. And I woke up and said, oh, I must be the doctors or nurse or somebody come in the room this time, you know? And I was like, you know, I don't see anybody. So I dozed off again. And then the next, third time I heard Rudolph. And I said, Lord, is that you, God, calling me? And it's very emotional. And he said, it is I am the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac.
Lord have mercy.
And when he said it, like an energy wave just went straight through me, right through the bed or everything. I just, you know, I felt his presence. And all of a sudden, I saw like in the corner of the hospital room, just started to get a little brighter and brighter, you know? And I was like, I pulled a sheet over my head and I was trembling and crying because I said, I know this is the end of the line for me, Lord. I know. And he came and he sat down right beside my bed. And the interesting thing about that is it wasn't no chair by my bed. But he sat beside my bed and he looked at me with the most pleasant of faces. You know, he put his hand on my leg, I remember, and he said, what do you want me to do for you, my child?
Wow.
And I said, oh, Lord, you know, I am not worthy, and, you know, and all that stuff. And I said, but if it's your will, you know, restore me. And bring me back to where I was, and, you know, make me anew again. And he got up, he looked at me, and he noticed, and he just started to walk towards the door. And he stopped and turned around, and he said, when you get out of here, remember the 10 lepers. And he walked and disappeared through the door. And that was my experience.
No, boy. I don't. And you wasn't going to tell that story? I don't know if I would have been that calm. Like it was. It's wonderful. You know, you remember the story of Eli and Samuel and similar. And as you're telling that story, that's where my mind goes back in the Bible. You know, Samuel being the young, or Eli being the little boy hearing God's voice, and Samuel had to tell him, look here, next time you hear that, you need to answer because that's God trying to talk to you. Yes. And for you to have that experience where you not only saw him, but he spoke to you audibly like you and I are talking just now. No, that was an awesome. I don't even know if we could just shut the show down now. Mr. Ferguson. Yeah, man, I can imagine. Mr. Ferguson, how was your support structure?
Oh, my support structure was nothing but amazing.
Wow.
And it actually still, you know, lives to this day. Like back then it was my mother, she was also on dialysis. And she was always, you know, encouraging me and, you know, showing me things and telling me of her experiences. Then, of course, well, my mother did pass away in 2008.
Okay.
Then it's my two sisters in particular, MacLisa and Juanita. Oh, my God. Everybody said that, they the two that spoiled you. And I go to a story where I was in PMH, and, you know, I called my sister, and I told her that, you know, I have a sore throat, and they said I have to gargle with salt. But the salt was really for the food. she was there. She was there. Uh-huh. And she bought the salt, uh-huh, and made sure I was good. And that's what I was using.
Shout out to the sisters, all of yeah, the sisters out there. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, the support, that's one thing I can never complain mm-hmm about. Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, family, friends. It, you know, and that is, honestly, that is the key of getting you through.
Well, I'll tell you, one day maybe the Lord will release me to tell my story about that one, but that's not today. Oh, no. So we've let the guys talk. So, Mrs. Eden, do tell the audience your story and let us know why you're here. Okay, so we will jump on Ms. Eden's story when we get back from break. You're listening to Remark on Guardian 96.9.
For your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing.
All right, so we're back. So, Mrs. Eden, can you tell us a little bit about your story?
In all my life you have been so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. Hey! 'Cause all my life you have been faithful.
Oh, yes, you have.
And all my life you have been so, so God.
All right, we are back. You're listening to Remark on 96.9. Prior to taking the break, we were introducing Miss Alicia Barton Eden, and she's getting ready to tell us her story about surviving cancer.
Okay, my story started 2010. I was getting ready for my 40th birthday, which would have been January of 2011. I was excited about going, about being 40, so I decided I'm going to start taking, I would go to the doctor, get a full physical, I would go to my first mammogram at first, you know, I said, I didn't need it, I'm not 40 years old yet.
Okay.
But I had an older daughter, my oldest daughter was like, Mommy, you're almost 40 now, and it's free. Mm-hmm. It was October, so she said, okay, I'm going to make the appointment. So she made the appointment. I didn't go the first time.
Okay.
Didn't go the second time. I went the last week in October. I left that day for work, going for my mammogram, all excited. I was telling all my coworkers, I'm going for my first mammogram. Okay. So we went. I went, and during the mammogram, the nurse said, what is this spot? I said, what spot? What are you talking about? Oh, don't worry about it. I said, okay. So we did the mammogram. I left. About a week later, she calls me back. You need to have an ultrasound done. We see something on the scan. I said, what? I said, okay. I didn't worry about it. I didn't think it was anything serious because, hey, I'm only 39. I'm still young. I did the ultrasound, and they found a lump.
Okay.
And at that point, it was still wasn't real. It was like, hey, this whole situation is about somebody else. This isn't me. So I was comfortable in that thought. Then she said, okay, we need to do a biopsy.
You know what that word was.
I know what biopsy meant. I was like, At that point, I hadn't told my kids. I hadn't told my mom. I think, well, the only person I would have told was my sister. And at that point, she said, well, we have to tell mommy. We have to let her know what's going on. So when I did my mammogram, my mom, both my sisters, they all came with me. And I think...
When you did your mammogram or your biopsy?
When I did my biopsy,
okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
When I did my biopsy. And I'm a person afraid of needles, and they all know this.
Okay.
So they didn't know how I would have dealt with that. And you know, so they were there. They were strong supporters the whole time. Anyway, they did the biopsy, and it wasn't painful, but it was traumatizing because I wasn't expecting... At that point, while I was in there, while that procedure was being done, I was awake. They did give me a local anesthetic, so,
okay.
You know, I wasn't in much pain.
So if you don't mind sharing what it is, because I think we assume
biopsy
too much about,
is when they,
you know,
remove pieces of tissue from that area, from the lump.
Okay.
They would look at it on the screen while they're looking at it.
Yeah.
They would go directly to that lump and remove tissue from that area.
So is there an incision, or is this just an oversized needle that
they're
using?
There's an oversized needle.
An oversized needle. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that was done. That was, like I say, it was traumatizing because I couldn't believe, well, this is, it was real. It was becoming real in my mind.
Yes.
When I got outside into the car, all I could do was just cry. Because then it was real.
Yeah.
This is me that this conversation is about.
So at that moment, were the tears about being afraid of a potential outcome? Because you don't have a diagnosis yet. So it
was
about the fear of the unknown.
Fear of the unknown.
Mm, okay.
That is the more... And I was thinking, well, my children.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen to my children? How can they deal with this? My mom was there, and she was supportive there, but I also know my mom is a person, she's not going to break down in front of me.
Yeah.
She's going to go into a corner and get upset.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie, from that period of time till present, she's been on high blood pressure medication.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, hey, I was concerned. Anyway, I calmed down, and about 2 weeks later, I called, and they told me they need me to come in. And I'm like, you need to tell me what this is. I need to know the results now.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I cannot wait until then. I need to know now. Anyway, the nurse, she broke down and she told me. At that moment, I was upset, flooded in tears, but I had a friend of mine who said, I know this lady, Andrea Sweeting. Give her a call. I've never heard that name before in my life. I've never seen her ever. But I picked up the phone and I called her. And she spoke to me for about 45 minutes, encouraging me, telling me, you know, about PMA, positive mental attitudes, document everything.
Same thing. Same screen theme tonight.
Right. Talk, get your feelings out, try to enjoy the experience. And at that moment when she said, enjoy the experience, how can you enjoy the experience? How? Anyway, after I finished talking to her, I was very comfortable and excited.
Excited?
Yeah, I was excited. Okay. All right, this is what we have to do. I'm going to get excited. I'm going to do this.
That is remarkable.
So I went to the doctor. And he gave me three choices. One, we can do nothing and let it progress. Two, we could remove one breast. We can go chemotherapy. We can do all of that. Or we can just remove the lump and still do the chemotherapy and everything. I said, okay. I said, I am more than just breast, but I felt like I wasn't ready for a mastectomy. Mentally, I was not ready. Mm-hmm. And at that point, he had only seen the scan. He saw the scan, he saw the lump on the scan, but feeling my breast, he didn't feel anything. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, yeah, it's probably just a lump. I did the surgery. He removed 45% of the breast tissue. Mm-hmm. And strangely enough, there was nothing left, no cancer left in the tissue that remaining. He removed. The tissue that he removed.
Okay.
When they did their tests and whatever, there was nothing there. So I'm like, okay, I went through all of that. But we did see something on the scan.
Yes.
We did the biopsy, and the biopsy came back positive. Okay. A ductal carcinoma, which was very aggressive. Okay. Between the time of them finding out exactly what it was and the time of me having the surgery, it came from stage one to stage two. So that was moving pretty quickly.
So what period of time are we talking about as last time?
Went to the doctor October
of 2021. 2020. Oh, 2020. Okay.
I went to the doctor.
This is COVID.
No. 2010. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm getting upset. I'm getting a little emotional here.
No,
2010.
Okay.
2010.
Okay.
I did all of that in October. November, I would have done the biopsy and the scan.
Okay.
So I did the surgery December 2nd.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. Yeah. Okay. Mm. Now, nowadays, because now that was 15 years ago.
Yes.
The protocols are now very different.
Correct.
Oftentimes with
Correct.
The options that they give mm-hmm. women. Mm-hmm. A lot of women are opting to do double mastectomies yeah. because of the fear of it spreading. Mm. Or it reoccurring
well,
after. You went even 15 years ago with just a lumpectomy. And is that still the case for you?
I had radiation.
Okay.
I had chemotherapy.
Okay.
I have had really bad days, really good days. Mm-hmm. I had days where I couldn't go to work. Okay. I had days when I went to work
treatment.
And my boss sent me home.
This is during treatment. During treatment, okay.
I'm not going to sugarcoat. It was rough, but for me, work is therapy.
Okay.
So I needed to be at... I was at a job where they were really supportive. My boss was really supportive. Mm-hmm. She said, you don't go to lunch, so what you do every day, you have to do chemo. You just leave half day.
Okay.
And I did that for 6 weeks until I couldn't go to work anymore. Mm-hmm. While I was doing chemo, there were days, one day I woke up, because certain things they don't tell you. I woke up one morning and my tongue, the whole inside of my mouth was purple. And I was like, oh, I'm dying. Yeah. You know, I was feeling positive all that time. And I wake up this morning, I'm like, I'm dying.
And what's the cause of that?
And I went, of course, I didn't go to work. I went straight to the clinic. They say, okay, these are the side effects of the chemo.
Okay.
Hyperpigmentation all over my body.
Okay.
Not my hands, my feet were dark. But no one said that. No one said anything about the chemo constipation.
Yes.
Okay.
The constipation, I don't know if you remember.
Yeah.
I had the meds give you that.
Okay.
The serious constipation. Mm-hmm. My hair falling off. Well, I've always had good length, thick hair.
Mm-hmm.
And after the first dose of chemotherapy, about the second week, I woke up and I said, Mommy, my hair coming out. And so she said, okay, that's part of the treatment. That's the chemo. So, okay, yeah, I kind of expected that. Mm-hmm. So my brother comes, all right, let's go. So we went to the barber. He took me to the barber.
Okay. Let's cut it all off.
Mm-hmm. Then he took me to the beauty salon and got a wig done for me.
Okay.
Which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
It got done and everything was nice. But I never really wore it because I was like, it wasn't me at that point. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm going to rock me a bald head. My bald head. With no eyebrows.
Right.
And I barely wore makeup, so...
Okay.
I was walking around. I work at the airport. I was walking around the airport like a Martian the whole time.
Yeah.
until the radiation, and then I had to stay home for a while. Everybody at work was really supportive. My brothers and sisters, my family, they checked on me every day.
That's awesome.
I have two brothers and two sisters that I would hear from every day. Mm. My children... it was rough for them because they felt they weren't sure. They were still young.
What ages were they
at the time? They were like about 18 and 15.
Okay.
So they were still, in
old
my mind.
Old enough to be supportive, but they were mommy going through it. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And they were, I didn't tell them exactly what was going on at first. And I think I did them a disservice because I should have told them right away so they could understand clearer.
Do
but
you think
at the
delay
point,
made them more fearful? Of
yes,
what, okay,
they did, because okay, they weren't sure why I did that.
Gotcha.
And I had a talk with my youngest daughter, and she was like, "Mommy, I felt like something was, I thought you was leaving us."
Wow.
Mm.
"So why you didn't tell me?" I said, "Because I thought I was protecting you all." Mm-hmm. But remember, I also had to tell her, remember, I was going through it too. So we was going through it together. I had to deal with it before I could express it to you. And she understands now. Of course, she's 30 years old now, but but it was rougher for them at that time.
That's an interesting story because I was watching a clip. I don't know if any of you knew who Simon Sinek is, but he's one of these thought leaders, and he talks about friendships.
Mm-hmm.
And he always talks about this, tells a story about how a friend of his was going through a really tough time.
Mm-hmm.
And she called him, and he would tell her, "Well, you know, I'm kind of tied up. I'm going to get back." Did that for several times, and she just stopped calling. So a few months later, when he was able to confront her about what was going on, she tells him the story of what she was going through, and it was a pretty heavy mm-hmm. situation. And he said, "Well, why didn't you call me?" And she's like, "Well, I did." But he's like, "No, that was just a regular call, just a check-in call. If you needed me, you should have said, Simon, I really need to talk to you."
Mm-hmm.
And I think he said he developed from that exchange what he calls, I think it's the 30-second rule. And he said, "I can step out of any meeting, any situation, if to give you 30 critical seconds."
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that they communicated back and forth was that, you know, when you're going through something as the person who is going through it, your friends and family are also going through it.
Yes.
And he was upset with her because he's like, "How dare you allow yourself to go through that alone?"
Mm-hmm.
That's the purpose for me being in your life, is to be there for you. So I think your children were feeling a little bit of the same thing, like, "Mommy, we are here to support you, but
yes,
you got to clue us in on what
yes.
you need." You are listening to Remark on 96.9 Guardian Radio. When we get back, we will continue the conversation with our fabulous guests about renal failure and cancer in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. We'll be right back.
They got so much things to say right now. They got so much things to say. Hey.
With escalating global conflicts, are you ready for what's next? Join us at RF Bahamas Economic Outlook on March 12th at Bahamar, where top global and local experts will break down the key economic, political, and social trends shaping our future. Hear from KT McFarland, former Trump National Security Advisor, and more. Plus, gain CPD credits, powerful insights, and high-impact networking all in one day. Don't miss out. Secure your spot now at rfbeo.com. That's rfbeo.com. RF Bahamas Economic Outlook. See you there.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
The BBC News. Israel has announced that it's cutting off all electricity supplies to Gaza immediately in an effort to increase pressure.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
The blocking of aid last week, humanitarian aid getting into Gaza, it's all aimed at ratcheting.
Are you looking for a fresh experience? Look no further than Fresh Market. Our store is stocked with the freshest produce, meats, and dairy, all sourced locally and internationally for the best quality. With our commitment to freshness and our friendly associates, your shopping experience is sure to be a breeze. Come visit Fresh Market today and taste the difference freshness can make.
Military aid and intelligence to Ukraine as Washington seeks to pressure.
Okay, folks, we're back. This is Garth Minard Rosebottle, Remark. We're having an excellent conversation with Darvin Russell, and we have with us Lady Alicia Barton Eden. We have Randy Ferguson. We have Rudolph Strawn. He's back with us again. Just simply to share with us the experiences of the diseases that we do not like to discuss, the diseases such as cancer and renal failure. And the government has put on the front page of The Guardian newspaper that they are going to address the whole situation of renal failure in the country. It is becoming an epidemic. We have need for organ donation. We know there's some dangers, of course, there are some hidden dangers to organ donation. You know, people start to kidnap people and you know, just simply extract organs just for the sake of making thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars. This is not something that we are looking forward to. We're going to need proper policing of such situation, but it is a necessary component of survival on Earth. When you look at North America, there is the availability of organ transplants. You go throughout Mexico, you go through Costa Rica, and all of the other places around the world, Cuba, but right here in the Bahamas, it's been a difficult process. When it comes to cancer, it does concern me, Darvin Russell and guest, that the rise of cancer in this country continues. And the reason why it alarms me is because this is not something we've suffered from historically.
Mm-hmm.
This is like new stuff coming to the forefront. People who you've never imagined to have it before, they're now having it. There has to be some causes to this. Of course, there's increase in traffic situations where we have a lot of these buses on the road and the emissions from vehicles. I think that has a big part to play with it. People burning fires, burning copper pipes and stuff next door in your house. You can almost smell the toxic chemicals that come from these items. People burning rubber tires. We just had a big fire yesterday at the dump. It blackened the skies of the Bahamas. These things need not occur. These things are causing health concerns. And then, of course, I've always been against the packages of chips that have import only and foods that have import only. And then, of course, we're getting foods in from foreign reserves and foreign places that we have no idea what is. I'm not talking about eggs now. I'm just talking about food in general. Don't try to bring no egg talk to me today on no Sunday. We ain't had nothing with no egg. We don't eat no egg on Sunday. We eat egg during the week. On Sunday, we want chicken and peas and rice and coleslaw, and we want steak, and we want lamb chop and them type of things. We ain't talking about no egg today. But the type of food that we're importing, the beef that we're importing, the poultry that we're importing, all of these foods that we're importing, some of y'all eating all this canned food. We don't know what's in the canned food. And I've always fought Darvin, Russell, and Guest for a scientific branch of government that can open these items and investigate and tell us what in the hell is in these foods. I need a scientific team that can go on the streets and take tests and say, what is in the air that we're breathing in this country? I need a scientific team that can say to me when I go into the bush, we can go into the bush and find all the cures that we need for our people. Politicians, you need to be listening to me today because you're making me sick and tired. I almost cuss on a Sunday like Howard told me on Friday. Almost. You ain't getting me to cuss today. But you got to get serious about the lives of people. We're talking about our brothers. We're talking about our sisters. We're talking about our fathers. We're talking about mothers. We're talking about grandparents. We're talking about toddlers. How can a toddler have cancer? You just born yesterday and you're sick already. Come on, man. This is not paradise. This is the Bahamas. So I want to get you into this conversation today. Darwin Russell is hosting the show. The numbers are, let me give them to you quickly. You can join the conversation, call the switchboard, get in on this conversation. I don't know if Dr. Nina Munnings is going to call in today. I did invite her to call in today. I know she's a very busy lady. She has three children and a husband, so, you know, it ain't easy. But you can call in Nina when you get an opportunity to. Let me give you those numbers quickly. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere from our family of violence, toll-free, 242-300-5720. Or you can text us at 422-4796. We just want to thank BTC and those other companies that continue to sponsor Guardian Radio and the talk show that you can be informed intelligently and with a little bit of entertainment. I was just sitting here, folks, just enjoying listening to your testimony. I know it should have been a sad conversation, Darwin Russell. Mm-hmm. It should have been. Mm-hmm. But it was so far from unpleasant. Mm-hmm. It was just simply a joy to sit and listen to the testimonies of these people that were here today. You are truly soldiers prepared for battle and prepared to win. And I just want to acknowledge today that I do believe that you are all winners. I had to have that song set aside for you today from C.C. Winans, The Goodness of God. I hope a producer keeps a finger on that button today because, you know, I'm a person, I don't always come on radio and try to spread this good cheer. People know, I'm a Christian, I got to tell you about Jesus Christ. No, I'm the type of fellow who would encourage you. But if you ask me about who my God is, yes, it is Jesus Christ. But the day I had to go out on a limb and let people know that my faith has brought me this far. I'm not trying to preach to anybody today. But this morning I woke up and one of the first songs I heard this morning, a song, The Goodness of God. And I said, you know what, I got to give thanks. I said, maybe God is sending me a message that can encourage anyone out there who's suffering from cancer today, suffering from renal failure, you're suffering from diabetes and from hypertension. Some of you are suffering from fibroids and such. People have challenges. And today I want you to know that God is faithful. And I want you to remember the goodness of God. And like Rudolf Strawn said, it was the goodness that has brought him this far. Mm-hmm. And I think, Rudolf, you wanted to share with us something about your experience, even with the chemotherapy experience. I don't know if you want to share with us before we get any calls coming in.
Yes, I just wanted to share about the radiation aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the chemotherapy like my friend here.
Oh, you didn't have chemotherapy?
But I had a chemo tab, Zytiga, which is in combination with the radiation. And usually with the radiation therapy, I just wanted to let people know that who may be considering that aspect of treatment, that you don't really feel any pain because it's really a laser light that they're using. But coming to the end of the treatment now, they tend to concentrate it. And so while you may not feel any pain during the process, the issues I had was you had intense burning mm-hmm. when you're upon urination or using the restroom.
What?
Yes, because the radiation, it made the bladder and the anal area that sensitive.
Oh, Jesus, so, don't remind me of that. Lord, have mercy. Boy, when you get a hot sauce, my God, right? Boy, Jesus, help you.
It's like eating chili peppers.
My God.
So you know what I mean, right?
Man.
And so I can laugh about it now, but yeah. Said it wasn't funny.
I can imagine, my brother. That doesn't sound funny.
Because you had to go, I think as you went so often. Mm-hmm. You went so often, you know, every, like, every, it was like Jesus. Every yeah. couple
every
of times
day.
A day. Yeah. I basically had to just lay in the chair but near the bathroom. Mm. So when that urges me, I go.
Wow.
I said, and that's the way it is. And I've had one or two friends who had this going through the same road I'm going through, and I talked to them. I tell them, I said, "This is what's gonna happen. This is." And I say, "Oh boy, Rudy, I didn't know it's like this." I said, "I see what you're going through."
Jesus,
I said, I have an appreciation for what you went through. And I said, "Yeah, I totally know." But, and I offered advice and things of what I did, and things that helped me get through that process. And if anybody's interested, they can always reach out to the station, leave the number, I can reach back out to them mm-hmm. and share with them what I've learned and what I did to help me get through it. Just drinking alkaline water and using certain products, aloe, et cetera. And And then your diet. Diet is very important. I found that the mushrooms, because at one point, coming to the end, I lost
a lot
appetite.
Of weight.
I lost appetite.
Yeah. Okay.
Things I used to like, I didn't like. I didn't want to eat this. I didn't want to eat the fish. I didn't eat the macaroni. Nothing, hardly.
Even now?
No, it's better
okay.
now.
Is that enough? Okay.
That phase.
Doing treatment.
The end
okay.
of it. Yeah. And so I had to find out exactly what I liked, and I liked apple. And apple juice and watermelon. And so we're talking about it off air. And that is some of the same things I found. So what you have to do, you test the foods. And what you find that works for you and giving you the nutrition you need, stick with it. Eventually, your taste buds will come back and your desire to eat certain things will come back. And that you will find that it improves. But mushrooms are very good because mushrooms, especially the shiitake and the maitake mushrooms, because they help to counteract some of the even side effects from the radiation and chemo.
Okay.
And so that helps you to overcome it a lot faster. And I find that vegetables, especially what they call cruciferous vegetables, these are your cabbages, Brussels sprouts, spinach, correct. Kale, broccoli. She's acknowledging that. And things like tomatoes, stewed tomatoes, boiled tomatoes, because the lycopene and that is so high. And with the broccoli and the cruciferous vegetables, they have what they call sulforaphane in it. Okay, and that is very, very important for building up the antioxidants in your body to build up your white blood cells and the red blood cells to help you to fight off the infections. And I'm telling you from my personal experience, every time I went back to do my check, my numbers keep going up.
Okay.
My numbers going up. So the doctor said, well, whatever you're doing, just keep doing that. That's what he would say, And I was like, yes, doc, I'm doing that. And so I find, and then also avoid now the dangerous stuff, and I call it the processed foods, all the chips and cookies and all them stuff with sugars and all they lure all sorts of stuff. You mentioned earlier about it, some of the things, and we love sugar. I love sugar. Mm-hmm. That was my thing. That was my weakness.
So sugar is the devil.
Sugar's the devil.
Sugar's the devil.
Run from sugar. Learn to drink your tea without sugar. If you have cereal in the morning, put raisins and cranberry and nuts and that sort of thing in it, and use almond milk. Stay away from dairy products as well, because dairy products build up mucus, and cancer love mucus. And so that's what it is inflammation in your cells. So you don't want to feed the cancer, so you want to run away from things that just not going to feed it. Drink green teas and hibiscus teas and those sort of things. Eat lentils and chickpeas and other beans and brown rice and quinoa and chia seeds and flax seeds and. It's a whole lot of stuff. I can even give you recipes when you're ready.
But the running joke in my office used to be, Mr. Russ, are you going to have any tea with that sugar? that's how I like my tea, right? So now you cursing at me today on a Sunday, telling me I got to have no sugar in my tea.
No sugar.
No, I know. I know. I could give up certain things, but I don't know if sugar, man, sugar is hard. So it's so funny. So we're on a corporate fast at church. And the Daniel fast is no meat, no sweet, no strong drink, right? So tomorrow it ends.
Yeah.
So I going to get some sugar tomorrow. I might as well tell you right now.
let's try the unfiltered raw honey or the stevia.
Okay.
Or you have something called monk sugar, which is made from the monk fruit.
Mm-hmm.
That's very good, too. It's a substitute for sugar. Since you my sugar friend here loves
sugar. No. Yeah, you got to help me out with that one.
Remember those things. And they'll help you some. You can use that. But basically, I don't bother. I've grown to adjust. I've adjusted to it, and it doesn't bother me.
So tell me something. So what about sweets? Like generally speaking, like cakes, or you can't eat anything like that?
No, just stay away, far away. All of that again is processed stuff.
There's
cakes and the now you have now the good thing about the times that we're living in. You have cakes that people can bake.
No, I'm talking about baked cakes. I'm not talking about things that you buy in the grocery store. I'm talking about I'm a big baker.
Oh, yeah. So, okay. So you could do substitute stuff in that. You still enjoy your cake to some extent.
Gotcha. Okay.
I don't say eat half a cake a day, but But,
no, I get you.
You can sweeten it with fruit juice and with other other alternatives, like I mentioned, the stevia
sugar
and monk sugar and those other sort of things, products you can use. You can get rid of the white sugar, period. Any white flour, white grits, white rice, stay away from it. Because what people don't realize is that the white stuff breaks down into sugar. When starch breaks down, when we talk about myelin biochemistry, starch breaks down, it breaks into, forms into sugar. Mm-hmm.
So it's not just giving up sugar in itself. Mm-hmm. It's giving up the thing that turns into sugar.
There you go. The white pastas and the, all that, anything white, white pasta. White, he's white nodding bread. There. Wow. Nodding there. No, white pasta, white pasta, white rice, white grits, white flour, all those stuff, and you put them together, and then you're drinking white cream.
What you're saying is really important. I mean, you hear these things in circles, mm-hmm. right? And if you're not a person suffering, mm-hmm. you continue to do it. Mm-hmm. So Garth made a really good point about we have to be conscious and mindful of what it is we're consuming. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if anybody has done a study that looked at the correlation between all of the starches mm-hmm. and the processed foods to see if since X time to now, the increase in the human consumption of these items, if we've had a direct relationship with the increase in cancer. We can say that anecdotally, mm-hmm. but I'm looking for a more scientific causal reason, because I think that's important. If these things can be prevented, not with a vaccine or anything, if mm-hmm. from a dietary perspective, mm-hmm. we can at least make it more difficult mm-hmm. for the cells to survive right. and thrive in our bodies mm-hmm. proactively,
right.
it saves so much cost and suffering down the line.
And I want to say that you do have research. Unfortunately, we don't do much research in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, mm-hmm. but in the U.S.,
research is expensive.
If you want to, you can Google Mayo Clinic
mm-hmm.
and the diabetic crisis or Cleveland Clinic. They did a very good study on that. Johns Hopkins University,
okay.
Loma Linda University, Boston University. They have University of Florida. They have some very good studies out there that show this, share the same thing I'm sharing with you today. And what people don't understand is that the body goes through what they call oxidative stress.
Mm-hmm.
You might have heard that term thrown out before. And basically what is happening is that when the cells in the body, what they call the mitochondria, which is in the middle of the cell of the
yes.
body, the main energy part of the cell
mm-hmm.
of the body, that produces the energy for us to do what we do, to walk, to talk, to sit down, whatever. And that when those cells generate the energy, some of them die as a result, because they have to work so hard, and the ones that are not too well, they die.
Okay.
And when you have too many of them go into the bloodstream, mm-hmm. now this is what you call free radicals.
Yes.
And that's where you get the terminology from, free radicals. So I've been on the hospital bed for a long time, a lot of times.
Glenn to read, yeah.
So you have the free radicals true. Branch out in your body. But now, the good news is, you could turn that around. And you have all you need is increased antioxidants in your body. Where you get the antioxidants from? From those same things I just mentioned, the cruciferous vegetables, the berries. Eat every berry you could think of: mulberry, blackberry, strawberry, blueberry, whatever, pinkberry. If they have
mm-hmm.
it, you just eat those stuff mm-hmm. regularly. And the melons and all those other things, apples, grapes. Grapes, you know, grapes are rich.
Mm-hmm.
The skin of the grapes is a scrubber for the blood vessels. People don't know that. And these things, apple even scrub your blood mm-hmm. vessels and clean mm-hmm. them. Mm-hmm. And they keep you looking youthful, keep your skin fresh and vibrant. And water.
So you're saying the sugar would get me looking youthful? Okay. All right. That's all right. That's all right. Mr. Ferguson.
I know you got some good stuff.
Mr. Ferguson, tell us a little bit about any side effects that you've experienced as a result of your treatment, your kidney treatment. Do you experience side effects the way our cancer survivors have?
Not really. The after treatment, normally like you're drained and tired.
Okay, I've heard that. Yeah.
Right, they're pulling, you know, fluid off your bodies mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So, you know, but like I said, it's always a mind thing. So, if you come from dialysis, and you just go home and lay down,
mm-hmm.
that's it for the day.
Okay.
Yeah, that's your drain, you're tired.
Okay.
So what I do is I normally keep body going.
Okay.
So I find
so you
things
fight
to do.
You yes. fight the okay the yes. urge to just lay down.
Right.
Okay.
And I go all about and even walk somewhere if I, you know, just for walking sake.
Interesting.
And that, you know, gives your body energy.
Okay.
And you know that, but I was listening to
Mr. Strong,
when he said about, you know, the processed foods.
Mm-hmm.
And I did my homework before, and they said that normally, steroids attack your organs.
Okay.
And normally they started shooting chicken with steroids. And a lot of people are eating these chicken, eating chicken with steroids.
Okay.
And of course that attacks your organs.
Yes.
And I think that that's one of the...
That's deep right there.
One of the causes of kidneys. Because where was it before?
Yes.
You know, if you go back to...
50s and 60s. Yeah, you're right about it.
It was not around.
Yeah.
Until they started injecting these foods.
No, and you all bring up very valid points. And I think Garth mentioned about whether or not we have a food safety organization, for lack of a better term. And although we do, I think it would be interesting to have them on one of these Sundays, Garth, maybe to see how it is that they do test the food that comes into the country, because the organization does exist in the Bahamas. So the tiredness, you fight against the tiredness. So we heard tonight, we heard constipation, we heard painful urination, we heard purple, the discoloration of the mouth, the hyperpigmentation. Any other side effects for you with cancer?
But I got a quick side effect. Yes. You wouldn't believe it all the time. But go ahead, Alicia.
Go ahead.
Okay. 2 minutes and then let me wrap this up.
Okay. One of the side effects was that it affected my pancreas, which left me diabetic. So, well, no one told me that at first, that could be a possibility.
Yes.
I read that afterward. So now I'm living with diabetes, which is also tough on my body, as well as dealing with the previous treatments and other things. There's other things like you realize, well, for me, the scar on my breast, it's a physical reminder.
Yes.
It's a physical reminder, and that plays a mental for a short period of time.
Yeah.
For a short period of time, I was scared to even date or be involved or be too close to other people because I was afraid
of it. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But luckily, I found someone.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
That's my favorite one.
There you go.
There you go. The Garden of Eden.
But the physical for other women, it could be loss of both breasts.
Yeah.
For younger women, it could be the scarring, the loss of both breasts.
I like your husband, by the way. He's a nice guy.
And those things are very important, especially for a younger person.
Yes.
I've spoken to younger persons that have lost their lives because they were afraid of one, going to the doctor, getting the results, having to deal with all of that, and then going ahead with the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. One woman actually told me, I'm a young woman. I still want to have children. That's why I didn't go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. Less than 2 years later, she was dead.
Wow. Mr. Strong, quickly.
One more point I wanted to mention, too, on the side effects. I also have osteoporosis, which I have.
So because of the bones.
Yes.
Okay.
So no calcium.
Calcium.
Yeah, because the treatment... You know, basically depletes the bones cells.
And so this is the radiation or the chemo? Which
everything.
One?
Everything. Radiation, chemo top. Okay. I'm on also on a light steroid, prednisone.
Okay.
And plus pressure pills, because the side effects.
You got a lot going on, my
side
brother.
Effects, right, the side effects from the medication, I combat that by taking the prednisone and the pressure pills.
Mm-hmm.
Because the treatment elevates both. And so, but as a result now, you have the osteoporosis.
Yeah.
So you have to take at least 1,200 milligrams of calcium, and I recommend the calcium citrate, which absorbs quicker, every day. And I would say 1,000 to 2,000 IU of vitamin D every day, even though you get a little bit of sun too, but take those every day. If you were taking this treatment.
This is when they say advice. The cure may be worse than the disease sometimes, But praise the Lord.
Well, it's good advice. We enjoyed the testimonies here today. I'm praying today that for those people who weren't able to tune in and you missed the show and you're a person who's always on the go, you can listen to Guardian Talk shows anytime, anywhere, on Spotify or YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging in to www.guardiantalkradio.com and clicking the podcast tab. You'll find Remark there with Garth Roseborough. You can listen to any of the shows that you have missed, and we'll continue to provide you fresh news, smart talk, anytime, anywhere, all day. Listen, man, it's been a pleasure to have all of you. You know, those who are watching on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or BTC Flow Channel 612, you television people, man, you already called and told me how I look. You tell me when I look good, when I look bad. Well, you know, it is all good. I'll take the good, the bad, and the ugly. If you're there with Twitter with us at Guardian Radio 96 or Instagram at Guardian Radio 969, you know, just follow us on Facebook if you have to at Guardian Radio. And we look forward to your continued support. We weren't able to take any calls today. Sometimes the phone lines don't work on Sundays the way they should, but I found out that most of the times we don't get a phone call is because people are actually listening. And I do believe that we had much information to share. I believe it was eye-opening for all of us. I totally, totally enjoyed the show. We got one text that came in and said, "Good afternoon, Garth. Great show. Kindly advise the listening audience that March is Kidney Month." And so the month of March is Kidney Month. And so if you know of anyone who has any kidney ailment, just give them an encouraging word. And you know, one thing with Bahamian people, you're all really cheap, you know. Let me just be real with you all before I go. I got to throw one little low blow. You're all some cheap people. You mean you got to have cook out for every time you need something? You know, you got to do what they call a thing we just do now online, where everybody come together.
GoFundMe.
You mean you got to do GoFundMe? Yeah. You mean you got to go to the pastor and tell the pastor all your business? You all know the people them got cancer. You all know the people who got kidney problems. You all know the people got to go see the doctor. Is there something in our country why you people just want to see people go down and not go up? I just got to say this, man, because you know. You all rather go and buy 3 pieces of chicken than you could buy just 2. And the same 3rd piece of chicken is what we can give you cancer and give you hypertension. The same 3rd piece because you're eating too much. You know, you got to learn how to eat the adequate amount for your body. Some of y'all want to eat salty chip all day long, all kinds of potato chip, Cheetos, and Lay's this and Lay's that. You someone finds them laying out in one casket. Cut back on these type of foods. That same money, tell yourself, you know, for the month of March, I'm going to find someone who has a kidney ailment, and I'm going to give my potato chip money to that person. Mm-hmm. Find out when the breast cancer month comes or the cancer month comes, this month I'm going to give all of my fast food money to someone who has cancer this month. Doctor bills are high. Not everyone has insurance. Y'all call yourself Christian nation? Act like it, man. We ain't got to go begging all the time. Righteous people don't beg for nothing. You know, God does provide. And he provides when you choose to share. And so, thank you for sharing your time with us today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Shout out once again to all those people out there. You're going through something today. But you know what? God is faithful. He's been so, so good. And until next week, Sunday, this is Garth Minard Roseboro and Darwin Russell saying, so long, see you next Sunday. I think Howard Grant is going to join us next week.
Okay.
So we're going to have a great political show next week. But I did have some people who want to talk with the Boxing Federation to come on the show. We got people who want to come on board. And so if you want to be a part of the Remark Show, you can reach out to Darwin Russell, myself, our Guardian management team. And listen here, man, you can be a sponsor for the show. Keep us on the air. We enjoy spending time with you. And until then, God bless you.
God bless you.